Please remain standing with me this evening and turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. We'll look at chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes. To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God of our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one may say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. You may be seated. Please join me in prayer. Almighty God, we do thank you again for your word tonight. We thank you for this letter to the church in Corinth. We ask, Lord, that your spirit would make your word clear to us, help keep us attentive at this hour of the evening and alert. May we understand your truth. I pray that you would work in spite of my weaknesses in proclaiming your truth. May you be glorified in all that's done and said. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. I don't usually do a sermon on just one verse of Scripture, but this is one of those key verses in all of the Bible. You've heard me say many times that there are only two types of people in the world today. There are the saved and the unsaved, the lost and the found, the Christian and the non-Christian, those who are perishing and those who are being saved. There are those who have accepted the word of the cross, and there are those in our world who feel that that word is foolishness. Too many times we get surprised that the world hates us and all that we stand for as Christians. And that's not meant to be an us versus them type of statement. But the more that you and I, as believers in Christ Jesus, cling to the truths of Scripture, the more that we embrace the truth of God's Word, the more we will stand out like a sore thumb in a world that rejects Christ. The more that we embrace the message of the gospel, the more the world will ridicule, and the more the world will reject. In 1 John chapter 15, verses 18 through 21, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me." Or we read in 2 Timothy 3:12, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." As we consider our sanctification in Christ and how we are all being sanctified by God's Spirit over time, and as we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we should notice a couple of things in that process of sanctification. And the first thing that we should notice is the closer that we grow to Christ and grow closer to God in our sanctification, the more we should see the sin that is within us. The more we should be thankful for what we have been saved from, our wretched sinfulness. But as we look upon our world today, and we look at the culture in which you and I live, I think it's good for us every once in a while to consider just how comfortable we are in our world. As we grow in faith, we ought to feel more and more uneasy in this world in which we live, the culture. The values and the standards of the world are not the values and the standards of Scripture. If we enjoy and we partake of all that the world does without filtering it through the lens of Scripture, then we will not be salt and light in a dark place, but instead we will end up looking more and more like the world. We need to examine our lives in light of the Word of God. We need to examine our speech and our conduct. Do our behaviors and our speech tend to drift toward worldliness the more that we rub shoulders with the world? Or are we being salt and light in a dark world that we're commanded to be? Do we go along to get along? Or do we set a standard of holiness that is not a false pride in how good we are, but being a living example of our dependence upon our Savior, who has saved us from all our sins so that we desire to obey Him more and more? We need to do all things as if working for the Lord and not for men. And that does mean, that might mean, that we may opt out of some of the entertainment and the messages of the world and we cling to truth instead. That does mean that we live in such a way that we live differently from those out in our world who reject Christ. A Christian employee should look and act differently than a non-Christian one, for we serve a higher authority. And yet there are times when we don't want to be labeled in the world as foolish and ignorant. Times when we long simply to fit in, and that temptation is real. The world has it backwards. You see, the world focuses on pleasure. The world focuses on self. The world ignores sin. And we dare not do that. As we look at the word of the cross tonight, let us examine ourselves before God as we consider what we have been saved from. Paul is speaking here in this letter to a church that is allowing the culture to affect the congregation of believers rather than the other way around. Sinfulness is creeping into the church in Corinth, and it creeps into the church today as well. Paul just finished reminding them earlier in this letter and appealing to them to be united and not divided within the body of Christ. They were dividing over men, as we discussed last week, over personalities. I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow Cephas, I follow Christ. And Paul reminds them of the unity which they had in Christ. So many of their problems, and also our problems today, come from the sinfulness of division in the body. We are one body of Christ, united in Christ Jesus. Paul even speaks of baptisms, and he gets to the heart of what God called him to do in the previous verse, in verse 17, where he says, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power." Let's get back to the heart of the gospel here. Let us not let the other things distract us and divide us like they do. And yet the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Those who are lost in sin cannot see wisdom in the good news of the cross, the message of the gospel. And that should give us, as believers in Christ, a great compassion for those who are around us. That we would desire that all those people that we know would be saved. Do you long that all of your friends and all of your neighbors and all of your co-workers and those that you see day in and day out would join us in worship and come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Does it even cause us to despair that most people around us are on the broad road that leads to hell? Do we even care that people around us think that the word of the cross is foolishness, is folly? I hope we do, and I hope that God would give us heavy hearts for the lost, hearts of compassion and love and understanding, that we may plead with God to draw to Himself those who are perishing. Rescue the perishing, Lord. Oh, how the fields are white with harvest. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth workers into His harvest fields. Pray that ears would be open to hear and that eyes would be open to see the truth about Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And He said, "Go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed." Isaiah the prophet there is speaking of the judgment of God on those whose heart is dull, ears heavy, eyes blind. Judgment on those who have rejected God and who have turned from Him. So as we look at this verse, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." There is both good and bad news in that one verse. We rejoice that we are being saved, do we not? We rejoice. But rather than be offended by those who think us foolish, rather than get angry with those who reject truth, may God give us compassion for those that think that Christ and His church are foolish. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 14 through 17. "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one a fragrance from death to death, to the other a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God in the sight of God, we speak for Christ." As Paul and Timothy are proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, they are the aroma of Christ. To the one who is perishing, that aroma smells like death. To the one who is being saved, it smells of life. Are we as salt and light in the world? Do people see hope within us and ask us about that hope? Is there something about us that is appealing to other believers as we rejoice together, but is also repulsive to those who reject Christ? We are those who have the Spirit of God dwelling within us, that sign of adoption into God's family, a seal of God's ownership placed within us. We have been set apart unto God. May we strive to live up to the name of Christ that we profess. As we look at this verse, verse 18, we cannot separate it from the previous verse here in 1 Corinthians. I think I mentioned several times before the chapter and verse breaks are not always the best thing. But let us look here at verses 17 through 19. In its context, because verse 18 here in chapter 1 tends to be a bridge between that section on division in the church that we talked about, them dividing into these various factions, and the next section that speaks of Christ being the wisdom and the power of God. Verses 17 through 19, Paul says again, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart." Then Paul will continue on speaking about wisdom and foolishness. I said that Paul reminds the believers in Corinth that his mission, his purpose, was not to baptize people, but to proclaim and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news about Christ, who he is and what he did for his people. So what is this word of the cross in verse 18? What is the word of the cross? It is that very gospel that Paul is preaching that he mentions in verse 17. Older commentaries by John Calvin or Matthew Henry, and even the King James Version of Scripture, translate verse 18 as, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." What is foolish? The good news is foolish to those who are perishing. The good news to us who are being saved, to us it is the very power of God. Verse 17 states that the power is in the message, not in the eloquent words, Paul says. Not in the speaker, as we discussed last Sunday. That which brings good news and salvation to us is considered as foolish talk to those who reject it. Now Jesus spoke of this acceptance or rejection of the truth in John chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." Oh, how often we separate the good news that God so loved the world from the following verses that speak about people loving darkness. God so loved the world that he sent his Son. But people love darkness instead of the light. And yet that is where each one of us was before God redeemed us. We used to be dead in our trespasses. We used to be enemies of God. We used to be those who loved darkness, but God redeemed us and allowed us to see that the message or the word of the cross was not that which was foolish, but that we were fools to reject that message for so long. And I realize I may be speaking to those who are at all levels in their faith tonight. There are some of you who have been blessed to grow up in a Christian home, and you may not remember a time without Christ. The temptation for you may be to make sure that you do not and are not compromising your faith in the world, and that you are striving to hold fast to that which is wise and not to embrace the foolishness of sin. And yet there are others who came to a full realization of the truth of the gospel later in their lives and maybe remember loving darkness instead of loving light. dwelling in sin and death before God changed your heart. We all come from different backgrounds. And yet we gather here tonight, united in the one thing that really matters and the one message that we all need to hear and heed. Back in February at our presbytery meeting, Pastor Bradney Lopez from Arroyo, Puerto Rico, preached a sermon on Jonah chapter 4, and he asked the question, in fact, I think his title was, "Do we have compassion for the lost?" Do we have compassion for the lost? And I think that's an important question to consider as we look at this verse tonight. There are those who are lost and who think the word of the cross is folly, foolish. Do we have compassion on them? The whole premise of the book of Jonah was that God wanted Jonah to go and preach to the Ninevites, and Jonah didn't want to go. But even after the swallowing of Jonah by that great fish and his obedience to God after that fact, we get to the end of the book in chapter 4, and Jonah, after the people of Nineveh respond in repentance and sackcloth over their sins, Jonah goes outside the city and he sits down where he can overlook Nineveh, and he waits for the judgment of God. Jonah still wishes ill on those lost people. Jonah is still hoping for judgment. I went back and I looked at my notes from that sermon at Presbytery, and I wrote down that the problem was with Jonah's heart. Jonah was self-centered. He was too full of himself and too empty of compassion. And we also can be just like Jonah and not know it and have no compassion for the lost around us. That message and the truth of God's word has been impacting me as I think about it and about the lost around me. The city we're in tonight, Brick, New Jersey, has roughly 75,000 residents in it. Ocean County has close to 600,000 residents, a little below that. I heard of a study that looked at the percentage of the population in our area that might attend a Bible-believing church, and I don't know the criteria that was used to define those terms, but the result was 3 to 5% in our area might attend a church that professes the gospel of Jesus Christ. At the end of the book of Jonah, God appeals to Jonah by saying, "You are concerned with this plant that bloomed up, sprouted up overnight, and it withered in a night. Should I not be concerned with this great city, Nineveh, in which there are 120,000 people who do not know their right hand from their left?" The heart of God is compassion. God sent Jonah to bring a message of repentance to a people that needed to repent, that needed to turn to God. Jonah should have been more concerned with the lost than with his shade from the heat. Jonah's mad that the plant died and God didn't judge those evil Ninevites. Are we as concerned that there are hundreds of thousands of people around us that are going to hell because they view the word of the cross as folly, foolishness? I think we should be. We should pray for the Lord. We should pray for the message of the gospel to be heard. We ought to pray for preachers of the gospel. For God is still pleased to show his power through the foolishness of preaching. Paul continues later in this passage to say in verses 22 through 24, "For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." Oh, that people might be lining up to get in here and into every church that proclaims the word of the cross, which is the power of God. That others may see the hope that is within you and I and ask us about that hope. That we might have compassion on others and invite them to come and sit under the preaching of the word. That we might pray more for those who are lost in their own folly. Romans 1, verses 16 and 17, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Those who are perishing do not recognize the things that lead to salvation. May God use us through prayer, through the living out of our lives in godliness and holiness. And as we do so imperfectly, may the world see why we need a Savior. Because we are not self-righteous. And we are great sinners in need of a great Savior. May the world not see us, but may the world see our Savior, Jesus Christ. But I also pray that God would give us more of a heart of compassion for the lost. As we consider the good news regarding the power of God to salvation for us, and we rejoice in that, we exclaim, glory, hallelujah, for God's divine grace. But may we also look and heed the first part of that verse that reminds us that there are those who are perishing because they do not consider the word of the cross or the preaching of the cross to be wisdom, but they consider that very thing to be folly. It's easy for us to be cynical in a world that considers us foolish. Will you agree with that? It's easy for us to be cynical. The world considers us foolish, and sometimes we think that's hurtful. Sometimes we forget that our battle is not against flesh and blood. And we are compassionate at all toward those who reject us because they reject Christ. We desire to be loved and not hated. We want to feel acceptance. We are tempted to fit in. May God begin by changing our hearts toward the world, toward the lost, and toward His Word. That we might continue growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That we might continue on in our sanctification. We are united as a body through Christ. We have a unified message in the gospel of Christ. Paul pleads that the Corinthians would be united in the same mind and the same judgment. I guarantee you that what unites us as Christians in this room is far greater than any nuances or opinions that may divide us. May we unite in the gospel, the good news, the word of the cross. And may we unite in our celebration of our salvation week after week as we join together in worship as we are this evening. Our worship each Lord's Day is a glimpse of what we will be doing in heaven for all of eternity. We ought to do all that we can to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Our longing for heaven ought to manifest itself in the time that we spend with God's people on Sunday. So we have a lot of good news. That word of the cross is the power of salvation to those who are being saved. But can we also be united in heartbreak and sadness over those who are perishing because they do not recognize the truth about God's Son? We pray each week for those who are lost that God would change hearts and lives. Let us not be lax or lazy in our prayers for the lost. And let us pray for each other that God would give us a greater compassion and a heart for the lost that are all around us. Hundreds of thousands of people near us need Jesus Christ. Hundreds of thousands of people around us need Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray, draw men to yourself by your Spirit and your kingdom. May it expand as you get glory for the salvation of men. Please join me in prayer. Father, we thank you for the word of the cross. That word which seems as folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. We thank you for that message, that good news that we have heard and we have received. And we pray as we consider both halves of this verse, as we pray for those who are lost in their folly, the folly of their sinfulness, With eyes that cannot see and ears that cannot hear, we pray that you would give sight to the blind, that you would return the power of hearing to the deaf, that you would change hearts of stone into hearts of flesh. Give us a heart and a compassion for the lost around us. May we pray. May we pray for the preaching of your word. May we pray that we would live in such a way that people might see hope. And may we go to you for all of these things. We praise you and we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.